What are we going to do now with, and what are we going to think about during all that time that we, during Lent, spent praying, fasting, and almsgiving? One time I had a pastor who gave up smoking for Lent. And on Easter morning, after he had processed out and was greeting people after Mass, he would do so with one hand while ecstatically dragging on a cigarette with the other. I think he must have been lighting it during the recessional hymn. We may as well admit it right away. Many of us are so used to thinking about Jesus' suffering and death that we may have a hard time fully recognizing and accepting his resurrected glory. We did such a great job with the grace of God at entering into the penitential season that we may find ourselves not quite ready to let ourselves celebrate for the next 50 days. The gospel passage takes us back to just before that new life showed itself. It's the Holy Saturday experience after an unexpected, terrible loss. What emptiness. I know a person who lost someone close to her quite suddenly. She explains that she was so devastated that she truly believed her heart would physically break and she would actually die because the pain was so great. But that didn't happen. And at some point, she had to get up and start doing the ordinary things of everyday life. Mary Magdalene represents for us that experience. She's the first to get up, go to the tomb on the first day of the week, and start doing what needed to be done. But horror of horrors, the tomb is empty. Someone has taken away what little she had left. They've stolen his body. And all she can do is simply break down and weep at her overwhelming feeling of loss. So when the angels who are there, and even the resurrected Jesus himself, ask her why she is weeping, all she can say through her tears is, "They've taken away my Lord." But this is the lowest point, and that's the point where our transformation from a Lenten penitential people to a new and resurrected Easter people begins. We might ask, why didn't she recognize him? Was it because it was just too unbelievable thing and her mind could not adjust? Was it because his resurrected and glorified state was so dramatically different from the broken and bloody Jesus that they had last witnessed? Whatever the reason, it was hearing him speak to her, hearing him speak her name that made the connection. That's powerful, isn't it? To hear one's name called by the one who gave us our name, our identity, our being, the most affirming of all sounds. But Mary didn't get to stay in that state very long. Immediately her task now became, tell my brothers, tell the others, he's not dead, he is alive. We jump from the pre-resurrection emptiness to the book of Acts and we see a larger and larger group of people coming to the realization of what has happened and what it means for their lives. It's Pentecost, and where there was only emptiness and loss, there is power in the preaching of the apostles to cut to the heart, it says. Peter raised his voice as the primary disciple. You killed him, this man who was Lord and Messiah. And the people listening to Peter ask in desperation, what should we do? That's the transformative moment for them and for us. Repent, be baptized, or live your baptism. Receive forgiveness, enter into the promise. Be prepared to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Peter has certainly recovered from denying Jesus, hasn't he, at this point? Is the resurrection event real? The apostles and many others lived in that reality. Almost all were martyred because they experienced it at the deepest core of their being. It was real, all right. All three readings emphasize the authority of God, that same authority resting on Jesus, the Savior. For the psalmist, God is Lord of all. For Mary, they have taken away my Lord. And when she tells the others about it, I have seen the Lord. And for Peter, God has made him Lord and Messiah. Jesus was buried in a garden tomb. Mary wonders if the angel might be the caretaker of that place, the gardener. Whereas the Garden of Eden was the place where life was created, now in a garden, life has been recreated. Seeing Jesus is of supreme importance in the post-resurrection faith, and it means for more than mere sense perception. It implies understanding and believing at our deepest core. But I think we know, don't we, that our lives must be different than before if that resurrection is to be transformative for us and for the world. We will live in the joy of resurrected life this Easter season to the same extent that we have truly walked with Jesus to his death and then the cross. Should we stop praying now that Lent is over? Of course not. But now our prayer might be, in the light of we have seen the Lord, that we are living in the joy of that first Easter. Should we stop fasting? Well, on the one hand, we might feast rather than fast during Easter time at certain times. On the other hand, if we have been physically or spiritually gained a healthier discipline during Lent, let's keep that going. Shall we stop almsgiving? No, again, of course not. But now our giving is plumb from the place of freedom rather than that place of having to work at giving up our attachments. Mostly, though, let us every day, in some way, that those who observe us will know that we have seen the Lord. That somehow our lives, even though we have to live the same lives as before, but there will be some sense, some glimmer in us of the hope that we have because we have seen the Lord.